T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So Atlanta's 8th play will be a 28-yard try from Matt Bryant. Kick is away, and it is good. 3rd and goal at the 1. Derek Coleman, Devontae Freeman in the eye. Ryan to Freeman. Devontae, touchdown left side Atlanta. In the gun, 3 to the right, 2 to the left for Breeze. Atlanta rushes 3. He'll throw, looking for Lewis, who makes the catch at the 5 and dives for the touchdown. Campbell was down there, but Tommy Lee Lewis has his first touchdown catch of the year. Snap to Ryan. New Orleans brings 4. Matt clutches, threw a pick, and it's picked off, and the interception from Marshawn Lattimore, and he is knocked down at the 29-yard line with 4 seconds left. Lattimore comes up with his 3rd pick of the year. 47-yard field goal off the interception. For the lead at the break, the kick is away, and we got a flag. Field goal was good. Is it on New Orleans?
Illegal formation. Offense 61 was not on the line of scrimmage. Even though the field goal was good, it does not count. And by rule, we do not extend this to halftime. Halftime is over.
Wow. Here is Breeze coming on the roll, juggles the snap, throws, caught, touchdown. And it's Michael Thomas. It's his 4th touchdown catch of the year. Sanu and Hardy and Hooper here to the right. Ryan looks now up in the pocket. Matt to his left, loops for the end zone, intercepted. Out of the back of the end zone, Marcus Williams, and he brought it out of the end zone. Trying to throw it to Jones, who is vehemently protesting to the official in front of the Falcon bench over there. Breeze the snap. Falcons trying to get there, and Poe takes him down. Back at the 19. Ryan in the gun, tight end right, 3 receivers left. Here comes the pressure, Ryan in the pocket. Matt looks, throws, touchdown, Mohamed Sanu. Center of the field score, and Atlanta within a point. Atlanta only rushes 3. Breeze wants to reset. Now moves the pocket, and he got hit by Adrian Claiborne from behind.
Relentless pass rush by the Iowa Hawkeye.
And this will be 52 for Matt Bryant. This is for the lead now. Snap, spot, try by Bryant is away, and it is good. And it had some steam on it, too. Tight end, 2 receivers right, 1 receiver to the left. Ingram in the backfield with Breeze. Snap to him. Breeze shoots it. End zone intercepted. Oh, my goodness. Deion Jones. Deion Jones's interception in the end zone provides tonight's winning security blanket. 20-17, the Falcons beat the Saints on a night when it wasn't very pretty, but it's a Falcon victory.
You know, when you get punched and sometimes a little blood in your mouth, you swing harder. And we stand for that as a group. And we know one guy's down, I'll go pick up the slack. And I was proud of our guys and the way they fought tonight.
Yeah, we did. All right. What a play by Deion Jones, and what a bunch of fight by the Atlanta Falcons in a 20-17 victory over the New Orleans Saints at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This hour of the Falcons Friday with John and Hugh, brought to you by McDonald's. The dollar menu is back at McDonald's. Stop by your local McDonald's this morning for a sausage biscuit or a sausage McMuffin, just a buck at the Arches. And speaking about Arch, there is Dave Archer joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Dave.
Morning, guys. Good morning, really good morning.
Dave, I got to ask, have you ever seen a play like the one where they called the procedure on the offensive lineman on the field goal for the Saints, where they just automatically called it? They didn't give him warning or anything. Have you ever seen it called like that before?
Well, I mean, if you're lined up illegally, I don't know. Do you need a warning? I know that I'd heard that Coach Payton had talked about that there were warnings during games or something like that. I mean, they hadn't kicked a field goal. The guy's line, if you look at the formation, the guy's in the backfield. You remember playing defensive end. Did they warn the offensive tackle that he was lining up in the backfield when you were coming off the edge? I don't get that. I think that's like crying over spilt milk. Now, I don't know about the – I've never heard the warning, to answer your question, no. Uh-huh. But I don't know why Peyton would have brought that up. I thought his team was really undisciplined last night. They made a lot of mistakes from a penalty standpoint, and that was one of them. I've never heard that call where it's called on a field goal at the end of a half. We've had some screwy ones as far as penalties go that have gone Atlanta's way when it comes to penalties at the end of half and end of games. But, I don't know about the warning thing.
Dave Archer joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Well, you just heard Coach talking about, fighting for everything. And, boy, they had to fight for everything. And we all thought at the end of the game, here goes Drew Brees. He's going to execute this the way Drew Brees does. And Deion Jones makes what is so far the defensive play of the year. How about the fight in this ball club last night?
Well, the defense was amazing, John, Hugh, their ability to hold on to the rope. Because we've all watched Brees play like you're talking about, John, where he's gonna make you pay if you don't score offensively. For that defense to kind of hold on, and then for Marquand Manuel to keep his patience, because they kept playing that kind of that soft zone or intermediate zone where they were giving up those underneath throws. Brees wanted to get the ball out of his hands. We talked about that all week long. That's exactly what he did. He doesn't really have the big arm to take the big shots down the field. And so he's going to take those quick intermediate throws if you give them to him, and he ate them alive with that. But they kept patient, and they kept saying, okay, at some point we're going to get in a point in the drive where we can get off the field. And they did that, and they came up with key plays when they needed to. I mean, gave up the short field touchdown at the start of the third quarter after the ridiculous interception that bounced off of Hooper's chest. But other than that, gave nothing up. And that was a team that was scoring 30 points a game, John, 29.4 points a game, whatever you want to call it. Just a heck of an effort by the defense. And the offense, to stay as resilient as they could, I think the offensive line did a really good job of making sure the run game was viable. And they provided enough protection where Ryan could make a couple of throws. Matt was not good for some moments in the game, but they overcame that as well. So just a nice team effort.
Dave, when you look at this defense and the way that they've been playing, and not only the way that they've been playing, some of the positions that Coach Quinn has been trying to put them in to make them become like, that vaunted defense, do you see them starting to turn the corner and become one of those playoff-caliber defenses that you need to be around this time of year?
Well, I think and you correct me if I'm wrong here, Hugh, it's one of those deals where you get in mode defensive where you expect to make stops. And I don't know that we've ever talked about Atlanta's defense in that vein. We've kind of hoped, we like the talent on the defensive side,
mm-hmm.
but like you're talking about, I think that he puts them out there and now they're expecting to make plays or expect to make stops, not necessarily turnovers, because that was our first turnover in like 40 drives or something like that. So it was an unbelievable moment for our first turnover in a long, long time. But they've been getting stops and they've been being able to keep the team in the game and give the team the opportunity to win at the end. And so I think they expect that out of themselves now. A timely sack, a timely knockaway on a ball where it's on third down. And I think that's the fun part about it. I don't know how you see it, but I certainly see that they have a belief in themselves that when they go out there, they're going out to get a stop.
You know what I see, Dave? Like last night, the way that this team played, the defense especially, the way that they out-physical the New Orleans Saints, to me, the only difference between this game last night and the one that was played Monday was that nobody left on a stretcher, because they were out there laying some licks and they imposed their will on this New Orleans Saints offense.
Yeah, that's good. That sounds good. I like hearing that.
Dave joining us, Dave Archer on the WadeFord.com hotline as we celebrate a win, and then you get a chance to have a run at this with the NFC South title if you can win out. Let's go back to a couple of points. You mentioned Matt Ryan. From a quarterback standpoint, Dave, as you're a quarterback, if you go interception, regardless of how they happen, and yes, the Hooper thing was weird, but you still went interception, incompletion, interception, and four passes. How tough is it to keep your kind of head on? And he turns around and is 6 of 8 the rest of the game with a touchdown.
Well, I don't know if you played the sound of my interview with him last night. I asked him almost that exact question, John. How do you compartmentalize? He does such a good job of that over his career. He's had some moments where he hasn't thrown the ball to the right spot or the right guy. But he has the ability to stay in the moment and to lock into that particular moment that's coming up, not what's happened in the past. And that's what he did last night, because the interception, the throw to where he's trying to get the ball to Julio. Julio gives up on the route a little bit. Excellent coverage by Mark, by Lattimore, keeping inside leverage. It's a place you can't throw the ball. It's picked off. You can give up the ball. Fortunately, you have that screw play at the end of the half. You don't give up the field goal. Hooper, you know, essentially, you know, lets you down. The ball bounces off his chest. He's got to reach out and catch that ball with his hands. That's the second time that's happened. And then the throw to Julio. Julio signaled for him to throw a jump ball, throw it in the back of the end zone. He makes a poor throw, underthrows it, and picks it off. And so you're kind of swimming a little bit as the quarterback because all those all happen, as you said, in a four-play sequence or a four-throw sequence. And he did a really good job of shoving that out of his mind. That's really hard to do, John, to answer your question. Really difficult to do. He's been here for a long time. He's been around the block a long time. And so he was able to push that out of his mind and focus on the then and now. I need to go make plays for my team. And he got back into that mode of being a top-flight quarterback to make some key throws. Obviously, the read and the throw to Sanu for the touchdown was gigantic. He made a couple of other really good key throws in that drive. I think we converted three third downs in that drive, and those are because of him sliding out of the pocket and making key throws and good reads. So just when you think he's down or just when you think that, okay, he's not going to be able to make the plays, he does, and he's done it over his years.
Dave Archer joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Let's go ahead and ask you the Vision Computer poll question that we're asking on our social media this morning, Dave. The question is, after beating the Saints, what is your level of confidence the Falcons can now win out and claim the NFC South title?
Man, John, I can't even think past next Monday night. I think that they certainly are capable, but let's just go beat New Orleans or let's just go beat Tampa, and then we'll go to the next one and the next one because this was such a strange game. This offense is kind of schizophrenic right now. You don't know. They play great at times. They don't play great at times. They can run it. Sometimes they can't run it. I mean, it's really weird. The one thing I'll say is it's different from a year ago. You knew when you got to the ballpark the offense was going to put 30 on the board a year ago, and you weren't sure what was going to happen with your defense. It's almost the exact opposite, and you just talked about it. This is a defense that you expect them to play well. When you get there, if that team can score 20 points, they're going to be scraping and scrapping to get 20 on you. So if you can play some semblance of offense, you're going to win. It's really weird how the script has been flipped, but they have an opportunity. I think they're very capable of winning the last three games. But I'm just going to, I'm going to take a deep breath, enjoy the weekend, watch Army-Navy tomorrow, and then get ready for the week from Monday night, and hopefully we can go down and beat Tampa.
You know, Dave, curious, when Alvin Kamara went out the game, did you feel like all the momentum that New Orleans was getting before that play happened, that it all got sucked out of the room when he took that hit?
I thought that it was a huge play, Hugh, no question about it. You know as well as I do that offenses, when you game plan during the week or when you have a semblance of a game plan, let's say you have a short game plan that you carried over from the week before that was in the Carolina game, you know how involved Alvin Kamara was in that game against Carolina. He scored a touchdown. He was running the ball, catching the ball, and you knew they wanted to do that again, and they came right out. He had a big play. He catches another one and then takes the big hit from Debo, and you see him stagger off the field, and you think, wow, if I'm Sean Payton, what happens to my game plan now, and where do I go? They had to put Lewis, the little receiver, and who ended up catching the touchdown, had to fill in and try to do some of the stuff Kamara did, but the whole load of the backfield and the screen game and all that stuff fell right on top of Mark Ingram, and so it changed their game planning and really – hampered Peyton from a play call standpoint. So it was, you're right, it was a huge play.
Dave, appreciate it. Thanks for getting up early.
Good man, Dave.
Let's enjoy this ride because that was a hell of a win last night. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, no kidding, guys. You too. Take care.
It is a Falcons Friday brought to you by Xfinity. When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. In a moment, why Jaylen Collins, remember that name? Why he's still not playing in the NFL.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Every play.
One, two, three, brotherhood.
Every call.
But you gotta call it both sides, man.
Every nuance.
We're gonna have some fun, you know that?
We're talking about it all day. This is Falcons Friday. Our Atlanta Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What a great morning in Atlanta to be talking about the National Football League. Little NFL hurry up brought to you by Zurez, ZurezAtlanta.com. If it feels like it might be the holidays. Hanukkah's around the corner. Christmas is 17 days away. Get old Zerez. Who knows? Might have a white Christmas at this point. The way things are going today. A lot going on in the NFL ahead of Sunday's big day and the extension of Week 14 after the Falcons' win last night. Jalen Collins, there was a lot of talk, Hugh Douglas, about Jalen Collins being back on the Atlanta Falcons when he came off his 10-game suspension. And he comes off the suspension, the Falcons promptly cut him, and we all went, oh, okay. And he hadn't been back in the league since. Now we find out why nobody else has touched him. He got another 4-game suspension. Another. Jalen Collins suspended again.
So, I don't understand, what is it that he's doing that he can't stop doing? I mean, it's one of those things, because, you know, like PEDs, that's a broad spectrum. There's no question about that. And I know most people think when you performance enhancing drugs, I don't understand. Why would you put yourself in? Why would you mess with your money like that? I just don't get it. I really don't.
And that's right. The first two were PED. If this would have been a PED suspension, it would have been gone for 2 years.
2 years.
It appears that this is substance abuse. Appears. Again, it hasn't. All the details haven't been released, but that's what it appears to be. I'm just wondering, where'd they dig him up? Because he's not on a team, so they must have seeked him out, because he is in the league drug testing system, you know, because of his violation. So,
and maybe he didn't understand that just because you're not on the team don't mean that they can't test you. Maybe he didn't understand that part of it. I don't know. But to me, I mean, and I'm talking about me, I think that I would probably do a better job of, you know, not doing whatever it is I'm doing. But maybe he has an issue. Not trying, you know, I don't know what's going on with him. But there, obviously, for this to be his third time, that he probably needs to go somewhere and get some help, some serious help.
And I would think that after two PED suspensions, you learn everything you can about everything there is to know about drug testing and drug policies of any type in the NFL, because I think this ends his career. I think now he's completely untouchable. You get two, you know, maybe somebody will invite you next year, but now he's at the point where he's untouchable to me if I'm an NFL executive.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation to be in. And you're right. I mean, we don't know what he tested positive for, but he's gotten another suspension, which effectively takes him out the remainder of this year. So that means he's going to miss the whole season. Now, you can come back. We've seen that. I mean, Josh Gordon is certainly trying that, Hugh, right now.
He ain't Josh Gordon.
I know.
I mean, that's why I'm sitting here, and I'm trying to look at his I'm looking at his resume, and they're saying, you know, had 2 interceptions, 10 passes defense, 42 tackles in 24 career games, 8 starts. That's not a whole lot. When you look at some of the young cats that are coming out now and you look at what they bring to the table and you have to weigh that against Jalen Collins potentially not being there for you because he has a PED issue, whatever that is, he has an issue with that. So it's one of those things where I don't think that his stats in these 8 games – jump off the page for anybody that's feeling like, you know, he could come in and help us out and thinking that he's going to, you know, clean up his act and not do it again. That's the problem that he's facing.
The Falcons, of course, last night win over the New Orleans Saints, and they scored in 3 quarters last night. So that means you get $90 off today if you happen to be in need of a new set of tires. $90 off a new set of tires only today, only at Kauffman Tire. You can find the nearest retailer to you at KauffmanTire.com. Kauffman Tire, of course, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. $90 off a new set of tires. You get tires today from Kauffman Tire. We are talking about the NFL as we get ready for this 14th week to commence on Sunday. The Cleveland Browns will be in action against the Green Bay Packers. The Browns are 0-12. Will they be 0-16? Probably at this point. This is a franchise that has won exactly 1 game in its last 31. They are 1-30 going back to the 2015 season in their last 31 games. And so what happened? Well, they fired their executive vice president, a guy named Sashi Brown. They said goodbye, but they said they're going to bring Hugh Jackson back for another year. So he's going to get another crack at this to try and get them. That's got to be, before we get into this story, doesn't Hugh have to be like the most, I know you played on a team that won 1-15, so you could kind of speak to this. That's got to be incredibly frustrating when you're a fan. 1-30?
Yeah, and not a win in sight. Not a win in sight. And it makes you wonder what direction the Browns are going in. I mean, even the Jacksonville Jaguars, on their worst days, they won some games. And they're probably in the same position. Well, a few years ago, excuse me, Jaguars fans. A few years ago, they were kind of in the same position as the Cleveland Browns. But for whatever reason, the Cleveland Browns have not been able to get it right. And I think this whole Sashi Brown firing goes back to them, you know, flubbing the whole quarterback debacle. Who was it, A.J. McCarron in Cincinnati? For them flubbing that. Like, that's one of those gaffes that when you go to work, like, days after the fact, you want to punch somebody in the face because, like, every time that you lose, you want to look around at the dude who missed the facts or who didn't send the facts, and you always want to say something. Like, you, like, mm-hmm. what, like they say, you don't want to bring it back up, but you always bring it back up. If you'd have sent that damn fax, maybe we'd be in a different situation. If you'd have did this, maybe we would have won a game by now. Like, you know, that's one of those ones that you just can't let die. Like, people say, let it go. No, you can't let that one go.
And so to replace him, they hired John Dorsey, who was fired as the Kansas City general manager. Even though John Dorsey had built the Chiefs, he was people largely credit him with building the Kansas City Chiefs into the team that they were over the last couple of years. But he takes over in Cleveland. Now, the big question will be for Cleveland, since they're probably going to end up with a number one pick, do you take another quarterback? Do you take Josh Rosen? Do you take Lamar Jackson? How many quarterbacks are they going to take number one? Would you take a quarterback if you were Cleveland? If you
yes.
Yeah.
What choice do you have, John? What is the one piece that they've been missing, they have been missing for years? They went out and tried to get a quarterback. They blew that. So what, you trade for one at the end of the season, you might be able to do that and then go get another draft pick. So, I mean, you could probably do that, but I would probably want to have one homegrown because that's what you've been lacking over the years. You haven't had a guy. Thought it was going to be Johnny Manziel. Everybody thought it was going to be Johnny Manziel. That was going to be that guy that was going to be the face of the franchise, but it hasn't been. So you got to take one of these quarterbacks that's coming out. You might have to take a Baker Mayfield or a Josh Rosen or somebody like that. But you know what the unfortunate thing of it is? Because Josh Rosen, as of right now, is the number one rated quarterback that's coming out. And you know, if you look at some people's blogs or whatever, he's the number one rated quarterback coming out. Josh Rosen has a little bit of a pass. Not a real bad pass, but he's a little bit of a party animal. Because I remember when he had the blow up hot tub in his room, and the young lady from Arizona came to visit him. So, you know, you're taking a chance. You're taking a chance with a quarterback like that, but you need one. You need one, and you need a face of the franchise. You need something that people are gonna feel good about. And right now, they don't feel good about anything. They don't feel good about their coach coming back for another season. They don't feel good about anything. They don't feel confident that they're going to win a game this year. They really don't. So it's tough right now being a Cleveland Browns fan.
And, of course, the Browns do play the Packers this week. Among the, of course, far more important games for us will be the Vikings and the Panthers in Week 14. That'll be really critical. So will the Seahawks and the Jaguars. Just now that you're going to be, you know, what are you going to do on Sunday? Who are you going to root for? Seahawks take on the Jaguars. The Vikings play the Panthers. A couple of big games, too. The Ravens and Steelers and the Eagles and Rams, which could be really an interesting game between those two teams. Really give us a kind of a line on where those two teams are headed into the playoffs. Eagles and Rams are going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, two quarterbacks in the second season, you know, drafted, what is it, 1-2? Something like that, that are going against each other. Yeah, that's a big deal. And not only that, it's a lot going on out there in California right now. So pray to all the families out there. D, I know you got family out there in Cali that's dealing with that fire. It's unreal. Like, I've seen some of the pictures. It's just unreal how it's burning out there.
Did you see the man rescuing the bunny?
I thought he was very, very foolish for that.
He was not.
I understand that you love bunnies, and I thought about you.
I should marry that man and after my own heart.
I thought about that, but he's pretty
good
different.
For him. You know, saving
run into
the bunny.
You know, save a human or something, save your dog.
He
save
gotta
a bunny.
Gotta get the bunny. Dude, that bunny would have been burnt. Breakfast bunny. That'd have been good eating. Sorry.
Ew.
Sorry. Sorry. I'm bad, Hugh. Bad.
Falcons beat the Saints. One of the side stories last night is the Saints ended up choking, but the Saints were calling the Falcons chokers. They called the Saints coach did. We have Devontae Freeman's reaction to what Sean Payton did. Did you hear this? We'll have that next on this Falcons Friday with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yes, no break.
Everything that happened on the field.
We are underway.
It's being rehashed right here all day. This is Falcons Friday. Our Atlanta Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, did you hear this?
We're hearing you in our Vision Computer poll and our question of the morning.
Yeah, so after beating the Saints, what is your level of confidence the Falcons can now win out and claim the NFC South title? So you can go on our Twitter page and Facebook page and leave us a comment there at 929 The Game.
Well, as you know, Swamp People tried to troll us hard. They had the float down at the Mardi Gras with 28-3 on it. They came to our stadium when they were first building Mercedes-Benz with a sign that said 28-3. Mike Conney tweeted out yesterday that before the game, somebody rented a plane with a 28-3 banner. Well, the 28-3 meme happened apparently in the game, because that's what my takeaway was. It's 17-10 New Orleans. Devontae Freeman runs out of bounds on a no-game play, and the Saints coach, Sean Payton, then goes to his throat and makes a choking gesture and says the word choke to Devontae Freeman. And so they asked Devontae after the game what he thought about the Saints coach saying choke.
Man, I saw it. That man don't know nothing about choking. He ain't from where I'm from. He don't know about choking. But he a good competitor, so he probably the competes probably came out. But, you know, we don't let that bother me, man. He don't know nothing about choking.
Yeah, well, so
Devontae. I thought his response was kind of funny. Because he talked, his response was very, very funny. Very, very funny, the way he responded to that.
Yeah, because I think he's talking about what that means. Me and Daryl just talking about, he's talking about what that means, where he's from, and the repercussions are from doing that on the street. And I think that's where Devontae is coming from. And
that's why it was funny, because the people that he was talking to didn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah, they're just giggling.
Yeah, they're giggling, but he talking about something totally different.
And
it's it's not nothing violent, but it's just like, you know, when you make that sign, it might be some repercussions and consequences.
It is some repercussions behind it.
Consequences behind that. So, yeah. So that's all he was saying, but it wasn't nothing where, you know, nobody, you know, it was just like, you know, you probably get some hands put on you, and not no healing hands. In that situation.
Not at all.
The media then asked Sean Payton after the game about his thoughts about flashing the choke sign.
It's a video of you giving the choke sign.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? You put your, and you can hear him clearly say choke. You know, I mean, he's clearly putting his hands to his throat, well, saying choke.
He mouthed it.
I guess Sean Payton forgot that there's this thing called a camera, and, you know, it can do these really cool things called videos.
What they say, coaches always say, the eye in the sky, don't lie.
You could put them on the social medias and such.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he forgot about
it. He got out of character a little bit last night. He was in his feelings. He was in his football feelings last night. What did he say? He was in his competes.
He wasn't out of character.
He was in his football. Yeah, he was in his competes.
That's who he is. He's always like that. He's just a... You know, emotional guy.
A Richard.
Well, here's the question. Richard. I mean, should the NFL, what should the NFL do? I mean, Hugh, should they fine Sean Payton for this?
Do you think they should fine him, John?
Yeah, I do.
Well, there it is. He should be fined for making a choke sign to a player. There you have it.
Do you fine players for this?
When's the last time they did? No, they fined him for the throat slash.
Isn't that similar to the same thing?
Kind of the same thing.
Well, if you want to play semantics, then yes, it is.
So... Juju Smith-Schuster is the NFL saying, well, it wasn't the hit as much as the taunting, yet he suspended a game. But Sean Payton can do a choke sign to a player and get just nothing from it, no ramifications at all? That's questionable.
First of all y'all need to back up off me, because I am not siding with the Saints in this situation. All I'm saying is if you want justice, because John feels like they should be fined for it, if you want justice, I suggest you all write a letter And then hopefully that will get you the justice that you want.
Who
no,
who writes
because,
a letter?
Listen, let me tell you, last night, if we want to play
bad
semantics.
Yelp review.
No. When
Dear Roger.
No, joke. But what I'm saying is,
what?
When Ted Ginn got knocked out, when he got hit in the ribs, and who stood over him? Ricardo Allen stood over him. Did anybody call for justice for that? And that's the same thing as what Juju Schuster did.
I agree.
I mean, see, this is where, like, for me, what we're doing right now is splitting hair. Like, we're being nitpicky about everything about the game of football because it didn't go on. I'm not that guy. So that's why I asked you, John, if you feel that you want justice in that situation, and Daryl, you feel the same way.
I did not feel the same way. I asked you a question. The question that I asked you. Well, there you go.
I am not being petty.
But I asked the question if a player was to get this. That's the only question I asked. I don't care either way.
But we're playing semantics because a throw slash and a choke are two
different
things.
Isn't that what we do on radio, though?
Yeah, but that's fine. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I will get the piece of paper right now, and we can go write Roger Goodell, and we can send, or no, better yet, we can send an email because I know people, and we can tell him that we do not like the fact that, you know, Sean Payton did a throw slash, and there was no ramifications or repercussions for that throw slash. Cool. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think that there was some karma because guess who choked last night? Ha, 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 Sean Payton. You choked on multiple fronts. You were the choker last night. Hey, that 28-3 meme is gone for the moment because the meme is 20-17. You know, they can't throw that. No. The meme's 20-17.
You know, you got to see him again.
Got to see him
down
again.
There. And that's why I am not really – like on the band of you know, hey, being all high, like let's get that second one and then let's talk a little bit trash.
Well, I think it's like something for the past 9 years. Whoever wins the first out of these games wins the second automatically.
Okay, well that's
so
fine. Well, you
I'm
still got
go that.
Okay, well, you can go with that, but hey,
I'm not going
I'll
with that.
I'll take your stamp so I can write a letter.
That's not necessarily true. 2012, they won the first one and then we won the second.
He looked a little more. He looked a little moist. He looked a little like I can't wait to get y'all to New Orleans. So there's that. And it's gonna be intense. You know it's gonna be intense.
I can't
down there.
Wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of them ones. You're gonna be like, yeah, this is gonna be road a physical trip. Confrontation.
Yeah, Christmas is gonna be exciting.
Boy, it's gonna
Christmas
be
a, with the Saints.
That's why, like, for me,
I might catch that flight.
I get it. I understand where everybody's coming from. But being a guy who's been a part of these, and when you get the bear the first time, you kind of handle it with a little bit of, you know, you don't really let up because you got to see him.
I
again.
Agree with you. I am with you 100%.
You
got to
see him again. And you're going to need it. Like, you know, you don't want to give them any extra anything going into this next game. So that's why I'm kind of just, you know, like, hey, we got to win. Don't want to be too ticky-tacky because you got to see them cats again. You don't want to give them no extra fire.
I think they're the ones giving extra, crying about Thursday night, giving choke signs.
All right, then,
I'm going to enjoy this. Anytime we beat those, I'm going to enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Hey, enjoy it. Hey.
He was just mad because he lost in his pick. Cut that out.
I'm not mad.
That's really what it is, Hugh Douglas. You came in here on the defensive this morning.
Well, that's right. You picked the Saints. I forgot.
He did. He came in complaining about
the
refs.
He came in on the defensive this morning.
You know why I picked the Saints? Because y'all always pick the Falcons and y'all a bunch of homers.
Who is y'all?
Who in your pocket?
Who is y'all?
Honda.
Who is y'all?
You. And Whitney.
Hugh,
and Bo.
Hugh Douglas.
And John.
You've never always heard me pick the Falcons.
We got to go. It's fine by me. It is a Falcons Friday brought to you by Xfinity X1. Get more from the entertainment that you love. X1, change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Top of the hour, what the Falcons had to say, and the sounds of the game, what it sounded like from West Durham's call of the game last night, next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.